going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate on FanDuel and DraftKings. I am your host, Sean Kane. We are coming at you with a Monday NBA slate that you may write off. You may be saying, NBA is done. I'm done with NBA. No, man. This is a slate. This is a great, great slate, a great night of games. Playoff implications from top to bottom. Tons and tons of games that we have to pay very close attention to because there's a ton of win-and-in type situations. Teams looking to get into the playoffs, they are on the brink. They need a win. They need to get one more to get in there. And then you add a couple teams jockeying for position in the Eastern Conference and in the Western Conference too. So if you were going to play maybe really one more good slate, I'm going to make a push for this one. So a lot of fun, a lot to be considered. We'll talk about all of that and I'll give you the good, you know, the playoff picture. This is the beauty of having two parts to the show, right? The game by game breakdown. I can talk through the playoff picture and then, in the player breakdown, we can talk specifically about, you know, different individual situations. Before we do that, shout out, congratulations to my man, Donald Remington, of course, Alex Remizowski, our golf guy, Lineup Logic DFS golf contributor, Mike Alexander's co-host, the man won 10K on Master Sunday on DK, 10K on DK. And a ticket to the Tiger Jam event in Las Vegas. So a lot of congratulations are in line. If you're not paying attention to the golf content, just are you this man is too good to ignore. Between him and Mike and the way that they every week, super professional, great content, spot on analysis. They did tons of work to prepare for Master Sunday. And it pays off. It pays off for patrons. It pays off it paid off for me. Cash line did well. Paid off for them. It is absolutely must listen programming. So keep your pod catchers in tune and in line for the Lineup Logic DFS PGA content. Now, that isn't to say that Josh and Ryan aren't smashing and Mike as well. Smashing some MLB. So if you want to get involved, patreon.com/lineuplogic. You can get everything, NBA, PGA, MLB, $20, right? $10 if you just want to get involved with Cheat Sheet, which is going to be, you know, there's not going to be any gaps in Cheat Sheet coverage here. So premium members, you're going to have NBA Cheat Sheets till Wednesday, and then you're going to continue to get MLB Cheat Sheets. So there's no lapses in coverage if you wanna get involved. Anyhow, all right. Well, we have a lot to talk about, so I'm not gonna waste any more time. Let's get straight into this slate. All right, first game of the night: Toronto at Detroit. This is a 208 total. Toronto is a 4-point favorite on the road. This game really doesn't matter. Detroit mathematically eliminated from the playoffs last week. Toronto has mathematically locked in the one seed. We've already seen, Dwayne Casey start to rule out some guys, and limit some guys. He's not going to totally take people out of the mix because he wants to keep them in rhythm. However, there is going to be a ceiling on how much they do. If you notice, DeMar DeRozan sat out on Sunday, Kyle Lowry played. I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see that flip. Guys like Norman Powell played 24 minutes. Fred VanVleet sat out. OG Anunoby played a ton of minutes and got it going. CJ Miles got it going. So, bottom line is, you are going to see an increased bench role from an already very deep bench mob here. We have some guys who are, you know, struggling, but there's some minor injuries, some scrapes and stuff, but you have to be thinking that Toronto will also rule some guys out. So keep your eye on the Toronto news. Could create some value at the point guard position against the Detroit team that is already kind of, mailing it in here. And listen, you're not going to see a ton from Reggie Jackson. You'll probably see more Ish Smith. You're going to see some bench guys, you know, the young guys, the Luke Kennards, Reggie Bullock, Stanley Johnson. They are running things there. Blake is out. He's been out for a while. Drummond is still playing. You know, I think if anything, maybe Drummond is playing, you know, just because, listen, he wants to keep his numbers moving for his season totals. You know, and it's good leverage for him as far as his season numbers go. And, you know, there's no incentive for them to necessarily play Eric Moreland more. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see, you know, Drummond continue to play down the stretch just to kind of, you know, stay relevant, stay in shape, because he clearly wants to continue to pursue numbers. Do I like him here? Not necessarily. This game is fadeable because there's just not as much playoff implication here. But at the same time, keep your eye on it because there could be some value pieces that make it work. Cleveland at New York. This is a 222 total here. The Cavs are favored by 12 on the road. Now, this is one of those seeding issues. Cavs only have two games left on their schedule, and they're both against the Knicks. Lucky for them. They're obviously locked into a playoff berth. It's a question of how many of these games do they win, and how many other games do Indiana and Philadelphia win around them. So my guess is this. My thought is, okay, Cleveland wins both of these, right? Maybe they win both of these. Depending on what the 76ers do, they could pass the 76ers, hypothetically. If the 76ers drop a couple games, and then you could have a 4-5 between 76ers and Pacers. Now, if the Cavs go to 51-31, depending on what the 76ers do, they could also just, you know, win one each and then stay in the 4-5 matchup with the Pacers and avoid the Heat, which, honestly, that's what I would do if I was them. I'd much rather have the Pacers. I think LeBron would much rather have the Pacers than the Heat and let the 76ers deal with the Heat. But the Heat, they may not be the sixth seed. They have to win a couple. They're one of those games. So I think Cleveland wins this one. I think then they sit still and they potentially just take Wednesday off and get one day of rest before the playoffs here and let it be and say we're going to be the four seed. They wouldn't have home court advantage necessarily, but they're already out of that, right, in the second round. So why not take the matchup, cherry pick the matchup versus Indiana, which I think you have a much better chance of than Miami. Miami is the kind of team that's just pesky. They could push you to seven games. They've had trouble with them this year. Indiana's not that. Chicago at Brooklyn. Obviously no playoff implications here, but some nice bench play here, some good pieces. They already played this game the other night, and it's a 219 total here, and Brooklyn is favored by 7, and that's right. I mean, that's correct. Brooklyn smashed them. It was a massive number, too. It was 124-96, and in this game, you saw 30 minutes from Joe Harris. You saw good numbers from... And all the way down the bench, too. I mean, they're letting guys play. Dinwiddie had a nice game. You know, D'Angelo played 24 minutes. So everything with and even guys like, you know, here's the hard part. Like, even Milton Doyle, Nick Stauskas, and Timothy Mozgov played 7 or 8 minutes here. That's where you really start to get to be like, OK, this is annoying. If you're going to play anybody against the Bulls, you're playing wings. You're playing guys who can stretch. On the Nets side of things, on the Bulls side of things, you got 30 minutes from Bobby Portis, David Nwaba, Felicio, Holiday. Decent minutes from Kilpatrick as well. That rotation is just really tight. It's not very big. So you can actually find some value there. So I don't mind Nwaba here. It's not a great matchup on the wing for him, but I don't mind him. I like Portis in this situation at the center. I think he's interesting. And I don't mind Felicio either. He had double digit. He had 14 and 11 in this game. So you could go back to him as well. Moving over. That's a value game. Obviously no playoffs here. Now, here we go. Playoff City, USA. Thunder at Miami. This is a 213 total here. The Thunder are favored by 3 on the road. Now, Thunder are winning in. They are win and in. They need to win. Miami's in. Everybody in the East, those bottom guys, they're in. They just don't know who's going to be where. So you don't really know who's going to be where. So Miami wants to win, I believe, to keep their seed and to try and, you know, get themselves in the middle of the pack to kind of not have to play some of the higher teams. You know, I think everybody in that lower tier would like to be the 5 seed and play Indiana. I feel like that's probably the best matchup. You want to probably avoid LeBron. So everybody's going to try to get to that 5 seed and play Indiana, or excuse me, get maybe to the, can they pass Indiana? No, they can't get to Indiana. They're going to probably, I don't know what the ideal matchup is. The 6 maybe versus the 76ers. Yeah. I don't know. It's not as big of a deal for Miami as it is for OKC, right? OKC, huge win over Houston, kept them alive. They would have been in the 9 seed if they had lost to Houston on Saturday. They didn't. That was a great game. And so if they win, I think they have sealed the deal. They get in here with a win over Miami. They get up to 47 wins. Them and the Spurs, right? Pelicans, Spurs, Thunder are winning in. Now, Wolves and Nuggets are fighting for their lives then at the 8 seed. So, that's where we're at. So big game for the Thunder, no doubt about it. Moving over to Memphis at Minnesota. This is Minnesota favored by 15 at home. Obviously, it's a nice situation for Minnesota, but we saw them drop this game earlier this year. Jimmy Butler is back, 24 minutes for him. Not necessarily a big deal. However, Minnesota seems a little bit more locked in. A very nice focused win for them against LA, which they came back in the second half and really turned it up. Memphis, we know, total mess. Absolute disaster here. Let's find out if Marc Gasol is going to play. Let's continue to ride Marshawn Brooks, who is just scoring like a madman, like unbelievable numbers from Marshawn Brooks lately. He has been getting, he's gotten over 35 fantasy points in all 3 of his starts in 25 and 36 minutes. So he's an incredible scorer. There's no doubt about it. Marshawn Brooks is really, really doing good work. Dylan Brooks finally got back on the court in his last 2 games as well. He is interesting to me. The point guards, the situation at the 1 and the 2, very, very hard to know who you can trust. Ben McLemore, we thought was going to play. He didn't play that much. Chalmers has been getting 16 minutes. Andrew Harrison has been out. Obviously, he would be interesting. Kobe Simmons plays, but he can get anywhere between 4 and 30 fantasy points. So you really kind of concentrate on the small forwards here and Brooks and the Brooks brothers. Wow, that's kind of fun. And Ivan Robb has been very effective. I think we would love if Marc Gasol sat this one out for rest purposes, maybe. And you got Ivan Robb again. He's been pretty good. And Deonta Davis. That's where my head's at with Memphis. Let's see who's out. Now, on the Minnesota side of things, I'm not playing Jimmy. He's 8,200. He's only playing 25 minutes. I think he's continued to be efficient. But don't get fooled by the 32 fantasy points in 22 minutes. It just, he made a ton of shots. And I think you have to look a little bit more towards guys like guys like Jeff Teague and guys like Andrew Wiggins. And obviously, if we get no Marc Gasol, Cat is in a really, really good spot as well. As Taj and Cat are both playing very well right now. Everybody's contributing. So Minnesota is as fighting for their lives. They cannot lose. If they lose, they pretty much if they lose and Denver wins, I think they're out. Because right now they have the same record as Denver, but they have the tiebreaker on them 2-1. So they have the tiebreaker in the last game of the season is Wolves Nuggets, right? So they both want to win. Wolves and Nuggets both want to get a win. Let the tiebreaker decide. Now, whoever loses, I believe they would have to win on Thursday to stay alive. No, excuse me. If the Nuggets lose, they're out. And the Wolves win, they're in. I think that's how it works. I think that the Wolves can clinch because they'll go to 46-35. And no, we would have a playoff situation at the end there. Okay, so here it is. Wolves win, Nuggets lose. Wolves go to 46-35. Nuggets go to 45-36. Nuggets would have to win on Thursday to force a playoff. This season series would be tied 2-2. They would force a one-game playoff to see who gets the 8 seed. Wolves win, Nuggets win. Thursday night is winning in for the Wolves. Thursday night is winning in for the Wolves. But either way, the Wolves got to win. God, that Thursday night game is going to be awesome. Orlando at Milwaukee. 110-98 total here. This is obviously a 208, and Milwaukee is favored by 12. Milwaukee fighting for their seed. They are currently the 7, okay? And they are tied with the Heat. So they could jump up and get into that 6th spot here and be slated to play the 76ers. They could stay at the 7 right now and play the Celtics. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. And it also matters what the Wizards do. If the Wizards win out in their last 2 games, that could be interesting as well. They're not in action tonight, but we'll see. So the Bulls the Bucks want to win. They want to try to, you know, get their seed taken care of here rather than having to play the 1 seed. I think they would prefer to, move up a little bit in those rankings. So you're going to expect good starters minutes from them. Sacramento at San Antonio. This is a 200-point total, and San Antonio is favored by 14 here. And so San Antonio is winning in, right? They win, and they're into the playoffs. Currently in the 6th seed, tied with the Pels, the Spurs, and the Thunder. There's a 3-way tie here, and those 3 guys win. They're in. No one can catch them. It's mathematically, it's not mathematically impossible, but they can't get knocked out, I guess, is what I'm saying. They can't get knocked out if they win. So Spurs are winning in. They have a nice path to do that tonight against Sacramento, a team that they've already, beat up on quite a bit this year. So definitely interested in some pieces there. Portland at Denver. This one is really interesting as well. Denver is favored by 4. Portland, this is a pretty high total, though. A 218 total here. Denver favored by 4. And we are looking at Denver's fighting for their playoff life. They've won 5 in a row. They're doing well. They're doing everything that they can. They have to win this game in order to just stay relevant. I believe if they lose, they are out. I believe, unless Minnesota loses. So they need to win. And they got to win again on Wednesday night. So they're going to keep it live. Portland is in the playoffs. It's a question whether or not they're the 3 or the 4 seed for Portland. The Jazz and the Blazers I believe if the Blazers win tonight, they will be the 3 seed. Jazz Blazers play on Wednesday night. So they would be potentially, if the Blazers lose, then the Jazz and the Blazers would be fighting for the matchup for the 3 seed, which I don't know if you want. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I would much rather be in the 4 seed and play the Pelicans than be in the 3 seed and play the Spurs. The one advantage is home court, right? And I think for the Blazers, home court matters potentially more. Although, I don't know. That's a good building in Salt Lake. I don't know. Like, matchup-wise, the Jazz match up pretty well with the Pelicans, as you have an elite defensive center. You like your chances, I think, if you're the Jazz there. Yeah, Blazers-Spurs, interesting. I don't know what the Blazers would do there. I don't know if they're going to play that seeding where they just win out and say, let's just take whoever comes. New Orleans at the Clippers. This is a 224 total, 225 total here. And the Pels are favored by 7 on the road. Clips have been eliminated. We saw them play their starters still, but they've been eliminated. And I believe I believe mathematically that occurred in their most recent loss. So let's think about whether or not the Clips are going to play their starters. It doesn't seem to me that way. The New Orleans winning in, you have to love AD the way that Nico Mirotic is playing as well, and Jrue Holiday. It would be really, really good stuff if the Pels got in and locked down a 5 seed. That would be a great season for them. That would be, you know, a big deal for them to have, you know, crushed and survived the Boogie injury. Because even without the Boogie injury, you would have been fine with a 5 seed. If Boogie was on this team at a 5 seed, you'd be happy. They did it without Boogie, so interesting to consider there. Yeah, you have to like the Pels in this situation. It's a matchup that they can win, and it's a team that in the Clippers is just, they're defeated. They're toast. They're done. They lost to Denver, and they're out. So that is it for the Clips. So that's it, man. So, okay, playoff implications. Thunder, Miami, Minnesota, the Bucks want good seeding. San Antonio is winning in. Portland, Denver, wildly important game. New Orleans winning in as well. So 3 winning in teams: Thunder, the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Pels. You have to think they're going to give it their all tonight to make sure that they are locked into a playoff berth. And then Portland and Denver, very important on both sides of the ball. Milwaukee, Cleveland, important for seeding. Okay, so that's it. All right, let's go ahead into the player breakdown. We'll talk a little bit about players we love. Who do you love? All right, looking at the top of the slate, there's some very, very wonderfully obvious picks here. We got to start with Russ. We talked a little bit about the Thunder situation. They win, they're in, they're on the road in a tough opponent against Miami. Pretty tight total, 3-point road favorites, obviously. Russ is 12-5 on FanDuel, 11-9 on DK, and he's playing playoff ball, okay? He's playing playoff basketball. 3 straight games with 58 or more fantasy points. The usage is up, the attempts are up, the minutes are sky high. He's not sitting on the bench, 37 minutes or more in all of those games. So you have to be interested in Russell Westbrook when he is in this form, you know, and nothing is sacred for them. They have lost 3 of the last 5. And, you know, he is going to, you know, really, really push this team. They beat Miami last time out. He went out there 35 minutes, 54 fantasy points, 29-13-8. With a steal there. Miami's not a perfect matchup. It's not a perfect matchup. It's not a terrible matchup. He's been at 1.5 fantasy points per minute over the last 5. He was at 1.5 fantasy points per minute against Miami in this previous matchup. You know, you want players in relevant situations. It's not a perfect matchup, but it's perfect as far as you're going to get the highest level of competition from Russell Westbrook possible. It's the second worst matchup on the slate. There's nothing around. I mean, there's no way around that. The only person who has a worse matchup is Jamal Murray. And so you have to, you know, you have to be aware and just say, okay, but this is playoff Russ. And I think that that's what you're saying to yourself. It's playoff Russ. I don't care. You know, LeBron has a much better matchup, but playoff Russ, you know. Now you compare him to Anthony Davis, and I think that's where you probably necessarily get a little bit concerned, but it's also about lineup construction. Where are you going to find the value? Because they could have very similar outcomes, 60 plus for AD and Russ. Very, very possible for them to both do that. So, obviously, I love Russell Westbrook. Can you fit him in? Can you fit him in alongside someone else? 12.5 is a very high price tag on FanDuel. You know, he's $300 more expensive than LeBron, and that kind of that makes you a little bit wary. For sure. So that's kind of, you know, where my mind is at on it. It's a little bit concerning, I guess, is what I would say. Let's move over to the small forward position. And the key thing here at small forward is the question about Giannis. Now, he sits out Sunday versus the Knicks with an ankle. All right. He sits out Sunday. They want to win. They don't have to win, but they want to win. You want them to get a little bit of a better seating, you know, maybe move to the six. I don't, you know, a 3-6 with Cleveland, not exactly ideal, but then is it a 2-7 versus Boston? You know, I think he's played. Everybody would probably like to be in the seven seed because you get a depleted Boston team. You know, no Kyrie Irving, and I think that of all of those teams have taken wins against Boston, Miami, Miami, Milwaukee, and Washington. So there's 6, 7, and 8. So everybody's going to kind of, I think, ideally want to be in that 7 seed. Someone's going to end up in the 6 seed against LeBron. You know, unless LeBron lets it go to the 4 seed, which I think Cleveland would do. And then you're going to be in the 3 seed against the red hot 76ers, which, okay, that's not ideal, but you probably prefer that to LeBron, right? Anyway, that's the question at small forward. Does Giannis play? I don't know. I mean, I have no way of predicting it. I would think the reason he sat out is because he was ready to play or wanted to be able to play in this game against the you know, wanted to play in this game against against the Magic, but they, I don't know. Who knows? So there's no reason to try to project or predict. We'll find out if he goes through shoot around. If he doesn't, my guess is he'll be out, but he's got an ankle and they may just keep him out and just say, we're not going to risk you. You know, you could absolutely just sit and we'll be fine without you. Who knows? But it wasn't necessarily like a leaving a game injury, right? Like he played on Friday the whole game. He just sat out with a sore ankle on Saturday, maybe to get rest. Maybe they'll play him tonight. Obviously, that changes a lot because his salary is such that 11.6 that he's affordable. And in a great matchup against Orlando, he has, you know, played well against Orlando, but I think you're also completely aware that, you know, he's capable of, you know, taking a backseat to Middleton and Bledsoe, who've been playing really, really well lately. Last game against the Magic, though, he had 67 fantasy points and they lost that game. If you remember, like, well, how do you lose to the Magic? I don't know. But before that, 51. So he's played really, really well in the last two games against Orlando. Obviously, there's no one on that team that can necessarily guard him. You want him in a situation when he is, you know, vying for playoff implications, but it's not that big of a deal for them to play. LeBron, similar. You have to think that he's going to play hard. He hasn't played since Friday when he dropped that 70 burger. He's 12-2 on FanDuel. He is 12-1 on DK. The minutes are there. The, you know, the fantasy points per minute are there. I don't need to necessarily talk about it. except for the fact that, you know, this is the Knicks, and the Knicks are terrible, and they have a potential to just absolutely destroy the Knicks, who are going to be without Tim Hardaway Jr., without Emmanuel Mudiay, without Enes Kanter. So you are going to get second string Knicks all the way here, and some value there as well. You know, and the Cavs are going to be back at full strength. It looks like George Hill, Rodney Hood, and Jose Calderon will all be a go. They went through shoot-around this morning, so we'll see what their story is. But LeBron obviously should be able to give you 30 minutes, you know, 30 blowout-type minutes, which I don't have a problem with. You get 35 minutes of a good blowout here from LeBron, you're probably 50, right? 50 is the floor. From there, I don't really know what you do with it. I think that that's basically what I'm saying, and that the ceiling doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Russ, and it belongs to AD, and AD specifically has been unbelievable. And he's got an, you know, an even more relevant situation than LeBron. It's just, can you pay 13-2? Yes. 11-6 on DraftKings, he's a lock. Like, that's a lock button play. You just don't question it. You go there. 13-2, though, on DK, on FanDuel, is pretty fucking expensive. And, you know, you're really beginning to question then a whole $1,000 more than LeBron James. For $1,000 more, you need a whole extra, well, you need a whole extra 10 points, right? You need a whole extra 10 or 12 points. Like, he's got to go to 65. So, you know, he's six, yeah, almost 70. You need him over almost 70. And for LeBron, you just need him over 60. That's craziness. You know, you, well, excuse me, 65. You need him over 65. You need LeBron over 60. So it's not 10 points, it's 5 points. It's not crazy, though, considering what you've seen from AD in the last three games of the playoff situation. Memphis, Phoenix, and the Warriors, 58, 65, 70 with almost 30 points in all those games, double-digit rebounds in all those games. The steals, the blocks, they're there. 2 and 3 blocks. He's averaging 1.5 fantasy points per minute, but in the last three, he's been at 1.8, 1.9, and 1.7. Okay, that's no joke. The Clippers matchup, one of the best on the board. You're playing the basically the best center matchup on the board. They just beat this team earlier in March. He had 73 across 37 minutes, 41 and 13. I think Anthony Davis is worth it. You have to find a way to build around him. And if you like the way building around him includes Russ and somebody else that's high upside, but $1,000 for me is okay. It's the difference between, you know, Taj Gibson and Ivan Robb, you know, that kind of thing. Like, play Ivan Robb to get to Anthony Davis, who could have a 70-point night versus, you know, a 50-burger from LeBron and, you know, 55 from Russ in a tough matchup. That's it. I mean, this guy is clearly the best play on the slate. And on DraftKings, you have to start with him at 11-6. He's too cheap. I think that that makes perfect sense. Now, you know who no one's going to play? LaMarcus Aldridge. No one's going to play LaMarcus Aldridge, and he may be the best argument for not playing Anthony Davis on FanDuel because of his power forward eligibility, and it's going to be really hard to figure out how to pay for both of them and make a reasonable lineup without using the value of power forward. And there is value of power forward, so there's always value of power forward. 51 in the last five, 1.35 fantasy points per minute. He's gone over in a very un-Popovich-like way. He's gone over 35 minutes in all the last four games. He scored nearly 30 points in three of those, 35, 28, and 28, nearly double-digit rebounds, and he's got a phenomenal matchup with Sacramento. We know this has been one of the best center matchups, and as far as efficiency plus-minus, it continues to be the best center matchup on the slate. So, okay. You know, excuse me. Orlando and Brooklyn are a little bit better, but this one is pretty freaking good. Pretty freaking good. LaMarcus, you know, his ownership is always the reason that I like to go to him. Nobody plays him. You have a high leverage player who's at a very, very reasonable salary to achieve 5X. He's 9-9 on FanDuel. He's 9-9 on DK. 50 points. Yep. I mean, there's no question in my mind that he scores 50 tonight against this terrible Sacramento team. The only problem that you have with it is if they blow them out by 20 in the first half, and then he doesn't have to play the fourth quarter. Then I worry. But I, you know, San Antonio has not been the offensive juggernaut that, you know, we necessarily need them to be. So you think maybe, okay, this is not a bad situation to, you know, to play LaMarcus kind of as a contrarian option. You know, no doubt that he should be in a good spot. You know, and give them meaningful minutes, and plenty, and be the entire offense, you know, highest usage rate on the team and highest score on the team, obviously, for, you know, as long as we can remember. Now, the one way to get access to this position and this advantage also is Pau Gasol. So I could be interested in some Pau Gasol at home in a must-win game. You know that Gasol is going to probably play 25 minutes, a little bit alongside at the beginning and end, maybe, of the halves, or excuse me, the beginning of both halves. He'll play alongside LaMarcus for a few minutes, and then he'll play some relief minutes for LaMarcus at the beginning of the quarters. He's kind of been doing that role for them, 24 minutes regularly. So that's kind of where I'm at with that matchup. But LMA is always a reason to potentially be different. He's always in a good spot to be different. Now, at the center position, I'd be a fool if I didn't talk about the man, Nikola Jokic, who at 11-5 and 10-8, he has been just red hot. Red hot recently. All four, five last games, he's been over 50 fantasy points. He's been over 35 minutes in all of those. He is flirting with 30% usage in a lot of those games. He's up to 26. That's 3% bump over the season average. He's up in rebounds. He's up 7 points on his average. He's up on his block numbers. He's up on his assist numbers, 1.5. He's at 1.4 fantasy points per minute, or excuse me, 1.5 fantasy points per minute in the last five, but 1.3 on the season. Everything's up. He's locked in. He's playing phenomenally well. And he's got a matchup with Portland. Now, Portland, not exactly an ideal situation. Not a phenomenal matchup. He had 40 here last time out in 32 minutes in a win, 104-101. You know, does he know how to play against Nurk? Yes, he's beaten him twice. He had 48 and 40 here. They're old teammates. They're very similar body types. Do you think that maybe he has the advantage here, just the way that he's been playing? But you look at the four last matchups for Jokic. And if you're sharp to this, you're going to know exactly what I'm pointing out when I say these matchups. Milwaukee, Indiana, Minnesota, LA Clippers. What do those four teams have in common? How long have you been listening to the show? Come on, let's see your fantasy acumen. Correct. Those are some of the best center matchups out there. No doubt about it. Milwaukee has been terrible all year. Indiana, Miles Turner has been a sieve. We've been attacking them in the front court. And we know that Karl Anthony Towns is fine because he has Taj Gibson on his back, but not exactly perfect, right? He's not a perfect defender. So, and the Clippers matchup, we just talked about it. It's the best, one of the best on the slate. So from a fantasy perspective, you have to necessarily be a little bit careful with your love for Jokic, because even though he's been red hot and playing phenomenally well at 11-5 on FanDuel, you could get 50 points and be let down, right? That's what my concern is. That's my concern. I think it's a legitimate concern. Drummond and Towns, Towns maybe if Marc Gasol doesn't play. That's when I'm interested in Towns. But that's it. All right, let's go over to the Grout. Let's get a couple players below 9K because you're going to need them, that's for sure. Let's look at the point guard here. I'm going to give you a couple options. I'm going to run it down real quick. I'll talk about all of them, right? But okay, it's all these guys who are on playoff relevant teams. Bledsoe versus Orlando, great. Teague versus Memphis, he's been playing phenomenally well. Deontay Murray versus Sacramento, got 30 minutes in a couple of his last games here. Dragic versus OKC, at home, very competitive game. All of these situations at these prices are very, very reasonable. So let's go through them one by one. Obviously, starts with Eric Bledsoe, who is the most expensive. Now, I've jumped the gun. Damian Lillard is 9-7. I think he's in the same category for me as he's in the same category as LaMarcus Aldridge. I think it's really interesting to do potentially a lineup with Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge and do a 12K fade and get those two guys potentially for, 50 fantasy points into your lineup each. They lock in the three seed if they win here. I don't know what they're mentally thinking about whether or not they want to win, but Dame obviously has been in great form. So you like the minutes, you like what he's been doing over the last couple games. No need to rub that in. He's been great. But let's talk a little bit about Eric Bledsoe. 8-6, 8-7 on DK. He's got Orlando. He's been destroying people. I mean, over 40 fantasy points in both of his last two games. He only had one dip against Boston. Predictable. They're a terrible matchup defensively for the perimeter guys. It's a rough, rough spot. Denver, LA, he has 63 and 50. Brooklyn, New York, matchups where you're supposed to do damage, the man is doing damage. 35, 31 minutes, he's been playing phenomenally well. We saw him last time out against Orlando, struggle in the first half, totally bring it back together, finished with 47 fantasy points across 37 minutes. The matchup with the point guard for Orlando continues to be a plus situation. If Giannis is out, I feel like you really got to look hard at trying to figure out how to get Eric Bledsoe or Chris Middleton or Jabari, one of those guys, into your lineup. It's the third best point guard matchup on the slate, far as efficiency goes, but the best in FanDuel plus minus. So Eric Bledsoe, very interesting at 8-6. You're asking him for 42 fantasy points, 43. Not a bad number for Bledsoe, the way that he's been playing lately, especially if Giannis isn't a go. Now, Jeff Teague versus Memphis. Teague has been turning it on. Now, Memphis, not a phenomenal matchup, but of late, we've seen that change, right? The perimeter matchups for guys in Memphis has been continuing to get better. The front court wasn't that good. It's getting much better. He is fourth on the board in FanDuel plus, or efficiency plus minus, fifth on the board in FanDuel plus minus. So you have to like the situation for Jeff Teague as well. Now, Jeff Teague is a guy who could very easily score similarly to Bledsoe, and you know he's not going to leave the game. He's going to play 33 to 35 minutes. That's where he's been in the last two. Tyus Jones, good minutes behind him with 40 minutes there. Last time out against Memphis, he scores 40 across 42 minutes. They lose that game. Just ridiculous. But in plus matchups against the Lakers, had a nice game, scored 25. We had him as the highest scorer on our cheat sheet, and he was. He ended up being, I believe, the highest point guard scorer, one of the highest point guard scorers of the night, 46 fantasy points in that one. So I like the matchup here against Memphis. I don't really think we need to be concerned about the loss that they had last time. They're at home. They're implied for a big number. I think Jeff Teague continues to play well. Does Jimmy hurt him? A little bit, but the price is such that you feel comfortable saying, okay, Jeff Teague, 35 plus fantasy points. He's at 7,500 on both sites, 74 on DK. Yeah, I think you could do that in one of the better matchups on this slate, a fantasy point per minute type situation. Doesn't worry me. I think that if you want to be different, though, Deontay Murray might go a little bit under the radar, and I like his price on DraftKings at 6.3. I think that's an easy 5X right there. The way that he's been playing, you could see him really, really, really get it going. He has had 37 and 29 minutes in the last two games. The Lakers matchup was a great one. And he played well against Portland, not perfectly, but he played well against Portland. Some situations 25, but three of the last five, he's had nearly 30 minutes or more. This is a spot where Pop, I think, when he's watching how he's playing and how he's impacting the game, he lets him go. Last time out, they beat this team by 15 points. He has 35 fantasy points in 26 minutes, 1.3 fantasy points per minute. He has played well, very well against this team. you know, getting some really, really good run in. I think this is a situation where he probably will get some good momentum. It's literally the best spot as far as 5x5's best spots in the last 10, second best spot as far as point guard matchups go, right behind Anthony Davis. So Dejounte Murray, to me, a very, very interesting selection at 7K, and 6'3 on DraftKings just feels too inexpensive. Too inexpensive. Definitely interested in Murray here. Now, Dragic, 6'6", you don't really love the way that he's been playing in the last two, but you know that he is, you know, he's going to be in the mix. They got blown out by the Knicks, and Spoelstra, like, pulled them, you know, and they lost to the Nets. Like, don't know why they've done that, but you have to expect that he's going to play 32 to 35 minutes here in this situation against the Thunder. Last time out, he played 31. They lost. He had 32 fantasy points. Fantasy point per minute, thereabouts. The numbers aren't going to be insane, but he's at home. He's had some good rest on the legs. You know this game is going to be competitive. You expect him to play 30-plus minutes. I think he's a high-floor play. The ceiling is 40, and that's a generous ceiling. But the floor is there. So if you don't feel like you have access to a value option, then I think Dragic is an interesting potential play. But given the way that this slate shakes out, it doesn't make a ton of sense to play a mid-range point guard like this. I think you're probably going to be better off with some value pieces or some guys who have a higher ceiling, which Murray has a higher, you know, a lot of these guys have a higher ceiling. But I do like Dragic just based on floor. Speaking of floor, I feel like Andrew Wiggins has a very nice floor out here. His usage has been there, but good God, he's inefficient. 31 fantasy points over the last five, playing 36 minutes. He's not at a fantasy point per minute, but he's below 7K. So you're kind of like, okay, interesting. I mention him because, you know, obviously Drew Holiday at 8-9, very interesting. And Chris Middleton at 8-1, very interesting. I'm going to talk a little bit about both of them. But I think that if you're looking for some kind of mid-range type plays, Andrew Wiggins is one of those guys that you're kind of like, all right, can we do this? Do you need 34 fantasy points in this situation to make it viable? So that's not terrible. Must-win game. The shooting guard matchup with Memphis has been okay. Not great, but okay. So you could certainly see it's been, you know, a plus matchup in the last 10. It's kind of whether or not he's playing the three or the four. Jimmy, though, has, you know, it depends that he's playing the two or the three. You know that it's different. Last time out, he had about 38 fantasy points against this team. He's interesting. The much more obvious and preferred plays, Drew Holiday, man. Come on, let's get, like, I love Drew. You guys know I love Drew. I love watch him play. It's really fun to watch Drew Holiday play. And he's just so effective and smooth. And like, he's just kind of one of those players that just people just kind of freeze around him because he just can get to his spots. 54 in the last two games. You know, the floor is 35 for this man. It has been all year. He's been phenomenal. 1.3, 1.7 fantasy points per minute. He played 40 minutes against the Warriors 2 days ago. The Clippers matchup against the wing, phenomenal. Tyrone Wallace is there. You know, he's not going to, I mean, Lou Williams is not a good defender, but we know that we've been attacking the two here at this spot for a long time. I think Drew Holiday is just as likely to go for 5X as, you know, LaMarcus. And then that's the kind of thing that you maybe get interested in, right? This is the number one matchup in FanDuel plus minus as far as shooting guard efficiency plus minus. It's second, right behind Brooklyn's matchup with Chicago. So yes. If you can figure out a way to get him in there, even though the price is restrictive, you want Drew Holiday. Now, Chris Middleton, same thing. High floor. Love the ceiling, especially with potentially Giannis out. Last two games, 44 and 36 fantasy points against Orlando, 30 in a game that he struggled in, but before that, 43 in a game that he played much better. That's kind of where I project him here. I think 40 is a very reasonable number. He's going to nail 5X. There's a real argument for potentially saying there's a lot of guys here who could nail 5X, and you try to figure out how to get them in alongside some cheaper studs. The cheaper stud lineup is interesting. I think it's an interesting way to do things, but at the same time, you could also go very stars and scrubs because you just jam in everything that's cheap that works over 30 minutes, and then you jam in your superstars. So you're not going to be able to play Drew and Chris Middleton with Anthony Davis unless we get multiple, 3K players, which we're not going to have like we did on Friday night with the Memphis thing. So these guys are cheap, but they're not that cheap. They're not as cheap as they were. And so you're limiting yourself as far as your flexibility there. But I like Middleton a lot as a floor play. I don't think he gets a ton of ownership here because people are going to want to scrape for value and try to jam in some of the higher priced players. So I think it's interesting to potentially get him in there and a few shares of him in that spot. Now, moving over to the small forward position, it's rough. And you know what? The reality is that you're probably interested in LeBron, but Paul George is in a really good spot here too. Not necessarily as far as matchup goes. Him and Josh Richardson should be able to limit each other. I don't like that. I just like that Paul George in a playoff environment, you saw him go for 38 in this game against the Rockets. You saw him go for 50 against the Spurs. We know he's capable. We know he's capable. It's not a perfect matchup. It's not a perfect total, and they're on the road. But you like the situation as far as winning in, and I think Paul George shows up in a playoff type environment. He's not a no show, right? He's not that guy. It's hard, however, to say that it's a perfect situation, especially when you look at some of the other spots that are on the board with some of the cheaper players. The Brooklyn guys, the Chicago guys, the Knicks, the Cleveland. There's a lot that you could kind of say, I don't know if I need him tonight. And I think that that's okay. If you go and you say, I don't think I need Paul George. And the same could be said of Josh Richardson. I mean, you guys know I love Josh Richardson. As far as this slate goes, you don't have a lot of options in this tier. And so Josh at 6'1 becomes very, very appealing because of, the minutes are high. The fantasy point per minute production has been there. He played very poorly, though, against OKC the last time out. And that makes sense. I mean, it's Spider-Man pointing meme with Paul George and Josh Richardson. It's just one can really shoot. And that's Paul George, by the way. So I think your instincts tell you, Jimmy is... The man who plays Jimmy is the man who says tonight's the night that they let him go. I don't think tonight is the night that they let him go. I think that's Wednesday night. And I think it's Wednesday night. So long as they win tonight, I think they come out of the gate gangbusters. They try to smash this one and then leave, Wednesday night. They prepare for Wednesday night and Jimmy will play. You're not going to be able to keep him off the court. Even if he's in pain, he's not going to, leave the court unless they don't need him to play. So you go down and there's just too much value down here for you to feel like there's too much. I mean, Alan Crabb and Dylan Brooks and David Nwaba, it's just you've got to use some of this value in this situation against the these poor opponents, and I think that it's hard to justify Paul George or Josh Richardson. Now, at the power forward position, I would love to play RHJ. I don't think he's going to play that much. He's kind of been mixed bag as far as his minutes go. So not a huge fan with the minutes, but do like the production that he's offered of late. I like Bobby Portis, though, at 6'5". I think he's very, very interesting. I like Jabari Parker at a similar price and Nico Mirotic right above them. All of those guys are very interesting to be in this situation. Let's talk a little bit about Nico here. and then we'll talk about Parker and Portis. Nico, Nico was really good on Friday night. Really good to me. I was really, really happy with the way he destroyed the Suns. He goes for 31-16. He shows up again against the Warriors. The guy can get it done. He's good. We know this is why they brought him on. He struggled a little bit in the middle of the season, but you let him go, and he's, if he can score, he's going to help your team. When he's scoring, man, he really is. Like, you got to let him have that 20 to 30% usage rate, and he'll get it done. Like, he is an offense first guy, and we know he's a capable of a ceiling. So you're getting a 50-point ceiling here in a situation that's a must win against the Clippers. Now, he had a decent game against them last time out. 1.3 fantasy points per minute, 31 fantasy points across 24 minutes. You have to expect him to get maybe 30 minutes plus here against the Clippers front court. That's been good. We know that there's been a good matchup against the center. As far as power forward goes, average, you know, average, really pretty average as far as the matchup goes. So the one thing I will say is that you have to think that maybe he gets the bench. In that case, you like it a little bit more, right? In that case, you like the matchup a little bit more for the bench here in this situation. So Nico definitely in play for me, although I think that now the low-owned Nico is not really a thing. Jabari Parker, he's playing, man, and he's got Orlando. This is not a bad matchup for him. You know, it's the... Yeah, it's fifth, sixth on the slate. I think it's the sixth. Well, yeah, it's neutral. It's very similar to what Nico Mirotic is dealing with, right? Very similar to what Nico is dealing with. However, the minutes are there. 30-plus in the last four games. I think they're really seeing what kind of playoff muscles this guy has. He's had a couple really good ones, man. He's got a ceiling. And similar to Nico Mirotic, he has a ceiling. He put up 50 against the Nuggets. And you know, 40 against the Knicks, was 16 and 12. And that is the kind of line that you say that's sustainable. 16 and 12 is doable, right? That's very, very doable. Now that was with no Giannis, but he still put up 29 against Brooklyn in 30 minutes. So, you know, the floor is a fantasy point per minute. Can you get him a little bit over that against Orlando? Maybe. He had a fantasy point per minute last time out against them, 23 minutes, 23 fantasy points. That's all we've seen from him, right? So that's basically what you expect, a fantasy point per minute, maybe with a little bit more. You get a little bit of a ceiling, a 40-50-point ceiling here, potential for Parker against the Magic in this spot. Moving over to Bobby Portis. He's going to come off the bench. I just don't think that you can necessarily underrate what he's capable of. We know he's got a ceiling. Has he been playing very much? No, but he's opened up some minutes. As long as there's no Markkanen out there, I think he plays. He played 30 minutes against the Nets last time out. He had 30 fantasy points. His price is a little bit much for that. You know, we know he's capable. If he was cheaper, he'd be a lot more interesting. I think that's kind of one of the things. I'm interested in the matchup. The price is not that interesting. $6,500 for him is not my favorite. So it's hard to say no, because you know he's going to potentially play 30 minutes so long as Markkanen is out. But it's also hard to say yes when you see other power forwards in the value realm who you know are going to play 35 minutes or more and have capable of very similar. I mean, he's more expensive than Lauri Markkanen. Now, Lauri Markkanen's not going to play more than 24 minutes. He's more expensive, though, than, you know, a guy who we know in Taj or Carmelo is going to play 30 minutes. James Johnson is interesting as well in his role against, you know, OKC. It's not a perfect matchup for him, but we know he's got a floor. You know, there's a lot of pieces here in this price range that you could go to. So anyhow, that's it for power forward. Now at center, I got to be honest with you. I'm not that interested in Vooch. 27 minutes for Vooch, even in a plus matchup. You love the Milwaukee matchup. He just hasn't been playing very much. I mean, if you knew you were going to get 32 minutes of Vooch versus Milwaukee, I'd be all in. He scored 54 fantasy points against them last time. But they're not. I mean, they're letting other guys play. They're just letting other people play in these last games of the season. So he's not, you can't do it. Kevin Love is interesting, I think, at the four against New York. He's the one guy that I would go to, but yeah, well, and O'Quinn. I would go to O'Quinn, but I'm not doing Adams or Whiteside or Willie Cauley-Stein. I think it's Kevin Love. Nurk scares me against Jokic. I think it's Kevin Love. And Kevin Love at 8,100 versus the Knicks. He's been getting 30 minutes. The Knicks versus the four are terrible. They've been absolutely terrible. Jabari Parker just smashed them. We know that, you know, Love has a ceiling. He's very, very capable of an easy 40 here. Can you fit in an $8,100 center? I don't know if you can, and I don't know if you necessarily want to, if the outcome could be 32. And if you want 32, I'm a little bit more interested in someone like Pau Gasol or Cristiano Felicio, and they're a little bit more in the value realm. But let me talk about Pau Gasol and Jared Allen here. Now, Pau Gasol in his last two makes me mad because I called that Laker game. I knew he was going to do it. They're going to use him to get into the playoffs. He's at home. He's played 29 and 25 minutes. It takes a little bit of offensive pressure off of LaMarcus. He's going to be capable scorer. You know, the usage is going to be there. He's going to take 10 shots as long as he gets the minutes. I think you could very easily versus Sacramento expect him to score 25 fantasy points or more. And I think he has the kind of ceiling that we like to see. In 24 minutes against this team last time out, he scored 30. That is a nice little, you know, contrarian type play. If he goes for 32 against this team, you know, in 24 minutes. Now, you worry a little bit about the consistency, but I think that that's the kind of thing that makes him a little bit more low-owned than a lot of people expect. Jared Allen is the other guy that I'm interested in. Jared Allen is currently 5,700. He's got Chicago, one of the better matchups on the board. And what I'm betting on is the pattern that I've noticed in his minutes. And this is hard to say, but if you look at the game logs, what you're noticing is 20, 30, 20, 30, 20 last time against Chicago. Could tonight be that 30 minute night where he's been a fantasy point per minute over, you know, that would be really nice. That would be really nice if he's doing 20 and 30, 20 and 30. I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see. Yeah. That is it, though, at the center position. Let's get into the value, because obviously this is where you're going to need to make hay. 5,500 and below. I go to FanDuel for this because, as we know, it's a little bit more tight on the pricing here. Okay. Point guard, campaign versus Brooklyn, 5,400. I think Jerian Grant is just as interesting, and he's cheaper. Ryan Arcidiacono is playing too. I don't know. Jerian Grant's 5,700. He's just better, you know. I mean, 28 minutes of Jerian Grant. I would much rather have that than what's his name, campaign. If in that game, by the way, Spencer Dinwiddie went out last time against Chicago, 26 fantasy points. He's been on a 20-30 shift kind of thing too with D'Angelo Russell. If Caris LeVert doesn't go, I think I could get into Dinwiddie. But Milton Doyle played last game too, so you have to be careful about that. Back at the main point guards here. We know Patty Mills is going to be playing the two against Sacramento, high floor play at 5K. If you just need someone that you can trust, I think he's interesting. Shelvin Mack, I think, is interesting potentially. 5,200 versus Milwaukee. He's been getting the majority of the minutes over. Well, he's been getting a good floor of minutes. Some games he's taking the majority from DJ Augustine, but not all of them. You know, I mean, listen, Frank Ntilikina is going to play 30 minutes. He's just not that good. And I think, yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot here. There's not a ton here. There's some pieces, but point guard may be the one spot where you actually have to pay for something. Because there's just a lot of concerning spots here. Unless you go, I mean, and then you go up, you know, you go up to like a Trey Burke is interesting here at 6,400. He's not bad floor play, but then George Hill comes back. That matchup is not good anymore. At shooting guard, though, you might be able to get a little bit of savings with Tyrone Wallace. He's probably going to play the majority of the minutes, especially with now Lou Williams probably out, doubtful. You know, 35 minutes of Tyrone Wallace at 5,500, pretty good. I think that that's good, especially in a matchup against New Orleans on the wing. You know, he's kind of blowout proof. Sean Kilpatrick, similarly, he's been playing for Chicago 25 minutes, been scoring, just green light to shoot. He's fine. He's fine. You know, the ceiling is 30, but he's fine. He's fine. Justin Holiday, similar. He's playing again. I don't know why. I mean, he's playing like 30 minutes. He's not been doing anything. I don't know. There's Terrence Ross is back. He played 9 minutes the other night. Damian Dotson maybe is interesting. He had a really big game against Miami, which is really impressive. He's going to probably play 30 minutes without Tim Hardaway in the lineup. So you could play Dotson. He's 4,100. He's interesting. Don't play Ben McLemore. Maybe play Kobe Simmons. Kobe Simmons is still 3,500. They just haven't adjusted his price, and he's really tilting. But if you want to really jam in stars and scrubs, Simmons will probably be the path to get there. At small forward, Marshawn Brooks, and by the way, Marshawn Brooks and Michael Beasley are now the same price, so there's not value anymore, but they are interesting for sure. Marshawn Brooks more so. Well, Minnesota, not a perfect matchup with Jimmy on the wing there. So maybe you go down to Dylan Brooks, but more likely for me, I go down to a guy like Alan Crabb. I like Alan Crabb in this situation against Chicago on the wing, 30 plus in the last two games. He's got a ceiling. The man can score. He's good. I like Alan Crabb here to play. I don't mind David Nwaba. 30 minutes of David Nwaba is a floor. There's a floor there with him. You know he's going to probably get you 20. It's not perfect, and he's the same price as Joe Harris, who has more of a ceiling, so you probably play Harris, to be honest with you. Other than that, Etuan Moore on the wing, he's been really pretty solid in the last couple games. How he scores 10 points against Phoenix is fucking beyond me, but he's been good. If you get 5x plus from him, you get 25 from him, you're very happy with Etuan Moore, 25 fantasy points. Very realistic versus the Clippers, who have been very bad versus the three, who he's kind of a 3/2. You know that. People don't really play him because they forget about him. He had 33 against this team and a very reasonable line of 10-9-5. You know, if you get 10-5-5 from him tonight, you're very happy with that. Etuan Moore will play. He'll play too. He'll play a ton of minutes. Evan Turner, he's going to play. He's it at the three, 30 minutes for him on the wing there. You know, you don't love the matchup necessarily with Denver, but they've struggled. We saw, you know, guys like Rob Bobkov have a nice game against them. So there's a potential here for Turner to do some damage on this salary. There's also potential for him to go for 9. So good luck with that. I have no idea what to say about that. Chetty would be really nice. 30 minutes of Chetty, although you have to have Rodney Hood out, which, by the way, I believe Rodney Hood is playing. How much is Rodney Hood? Rodney Hood against the Knicks is very interesting as well. Where is Rodney Hood? How much is he? Yeah, 4,100 versus the Knicks is very interesting. He could easily get you 25, I think. So a lot of these guys in play, and you got to be a little bit more crafty, I think, than a lot of people expect. At power forward, it's not terribly hard. You know, it's Montrezl Harrell will play. My guess is that he's going to be the guy that gets a good run off the bench here. One of the primary bench guys. He's a capable scorer. I like Montrez. I would gamble on him. You know, last time out against New Orleans, he had 30 minutes and he smashed. He had 40 fantasy points. He's a guy that I will gamble on in this, in on this slate. Ivan Robb. Not a good matchup versus Minnesota whatsoever, but if Marc Gasol sits, you like Rob in this situation. I want to like Larry Nance versus a bad New York front court, but you can't trust him right now. You just can't trust him. It's not there. Jeff Green, he's interesting. He is interesting. You could definitely get 25 out of Jeff Green. He's been playing almost 30 minutes. He seems to be in the rotation, but remember, a lot of that's going to come without George Hill and without Rodney Hood. If those guys play, then Jeff Green probably goes back to somewhere between 25 and 17 minutes. So you got to be careful about that. If Noah Vonleh is go versus Brooklyn, yep, you got him for sure. Yeah. That is Luke Kornet, man. Luke Kornet, he's not that interesting. Luke Kornet. Yeah, that's about it. Okay, moving over to the center. I mentioned Pau Gasol. I mentioned Jared Allen. Marc Gasol, if Marc Gasol plays, guys, you have to think about him. He played 34 minutes against Detroit and had 47 fantasy points, and he's way too cheap. Last time out against Minnesota, he had 55. If he's going to play 30 minutes, we have to play him. I just don't know if he's going to play because you saw 21, 23, 20, 19, 0 minutes, 35 minutes. I would love if they just kept him out or they played him. Like one or the other, you know, none of this half in and half out bullshit. Cristiano Felicio, 5,200 versus Brooklyn, had the best game of the season not the best game, but had a good game. 26 fantasy points across 30 plus minutes. Fine. Whatever. If Vooch gets ruled out, you're going to play Bismack or Maurice Spates. I'm sorry. If Marc Gasol gets ruled out, you play Deontay Davis. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what to say. It's true, though, right? It's true. You gotta potentially think about it. Okay. That's it. Okay. That's enough. Yeah, that's all. All right. Let's go ahead and let's go over and build a lineup. Let's see what we can do. This is going to be rough. All right. Let's build around AD. Let's get it out of the way. The AD build gives you 5,800 per player. We have some potential savings at small forward, a nice mid-range grouping here in the 5Ks. Let's look at Allen Crabb. Let's look at Etuan Moore. I like those two guys for the matchup and the price, the combination of which is appealing to me. Hopefully Caris LeVert is out. Then Allen Crabb and Joe Harris, you're going to have some shares. Those guys are capable. Good scores. Okay, now. Power forward is another place where we can get some savings here, okay? Center is a place where we can get some savings. Shooting guard, maybe one guy for savings. Let's go over to shooting guard. Let's get Damian Dotson. Oh, God, that worries me. It's not a good matchup on the wing with George Hill back. Yeah, that's not a good matchup there. All right. Let's look at Tyrone Wallace versus New Orleans. You're going to have to... you're betting on Clippers saying, we're done, let's get these guys developmental minutes. That's what you're saying, right? Like, DeAndre is worn out. Lou is out. Austin Rivers is worn out. Let these guys just play, right? And remember, Tyrone actually plays a little bit of point... He plays point guards mostly, so... You're getting a point guard versus New Orleans pretty cheap here, potentially with the ceiling. So I think that is interesting to me. Okay, we're at 6,300 per player. I'm going to probably go to a guy. Let's get Montrez in there.
I don't know how I feel about it. Montrez, although Anthony Tolliver is interesting too. Let's get Anthony Tolliver in there. Sneaky, sneaky play. Not a good matchup versus Serge Ibaka, but Toronto is going to be resting their guys. Tolliver is playing for injured Blake. He's cheap. He's interesting. Okay. We had 67 per. Let's see. I think center is a place where I can probably save. I don't mind Kyle O'Quinn. Yeah, I mean, he's been playing really well. It's not a phenomenal match. Cleveland's fine. It's a good match. It's good enough, I think. The price is a little bit high, but let's get Kyle O'Quinn in there. I didn't really talk about him. He's worrisome at that price. We'll see if I can pivot away from him, maybe. Point guard, then, I can't play Kyle O'Quinn because I need the money for short shooting guards and point guards. They're just not enough. So we go to a Cristiano Felicio. There, fine. That's a 5X right there. 7,300 now. Point guard, shooting guard. I'm going to go Deontay Murray, 7K. Okay, I could definitely go Trey Burke, but it's not a perfect matchup. I could go Rondo. He's interesting. He played really well against Golden State. 7,400 at shooting guard and point guard. I think... Oh, I want Jrue Holiday. And then 6K for a point guard there. That's not terrible. You could talk me into a Spencer Dinwiddie. You could talk me into a Spencer Dinwiddie here. You could talk me into a Jerian Grant against Brooklyn for sure. I think I could do that too. Yeah, this works. Okay, so this isn't terrible. This is not a final whatsoever, but this is kind of a rough draft, right? And this isn't the jam I'm in. This is kind of, you know, this is a little bit more balanced. Maybe we'll go to a jam I'm in 1 second here. So AD at the center of it all, right? And then it's Deontay Murray, Jerian Grant, Tyrone Wallace, Jrue Holiday, Etuan Moore, Alan Crabb, Anthony Tolliver, Cristiano Felicio. Now, these are all potentially 6X guys, right? Deontay, you could see 40. Jerian Grant, you could see 30. Tyrone Wallace, you could see 30. Holiday, you could easily see 50. Etuan Moore, 6X for him at that price is just 25, you know? Alan Crabb, that's 30 fantasy points. AD, 6X is 70. Obviously, that's a lock. Tolliver 6X is not hard. I mean, so you 6X this lineup, you feel pretty good about it. Let's do a little bit more of a balance. That one that I was talking about with LMA and like Dame and stuff like that. Let's see what we can do here. I'm going to definitely get Jrue Holiday into this one. I'm going to get LMA into this one. I think you probably can go to a similar center at Pau Gasol. Or, no, you probably just go to Cristiano Felicio, especially if Noah Vonleh. If Noah Vonleh plays, then you have a little bit of more of an issue. Wait for the Chicago injury report. It's going to help a lot. I have 6K per player with Holiday, Aldridge. Let's get a little bit more small forward value. Let's go to one of these 5K guys, and then I'm going to probably do like a Marshawn Brooks is not perfect against Jimmy. Yeah. Interesting Joe Harris, Alan Crabb. That's an interesting way to do it. Power forward. This isn't, you know, it's interesting. It's not that much better, although I am going to be able to probably play some nice point guard selections here. Power forward, I'm looking at Montrez again. That's fine. Let's go there. Need some injury reports, guys. I don't, you know, some of these are going to be fine. Some of these are not going to work. Tyrone. Those two, and then I got 7,300 per point guard. So it actually, the upside isn't necessarily there. It's very similar to my Anthony Davis build with LaMarcus in there. So it's not really actually working as well as I wanted it to. I wanted to get Damian Lillard. You can fit Damian Lillard in there then. Can I fit Russ in? No. No. Okay. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go here, guys. You could go totally balanced, and you can get a bunch of 6 and 7K guys in here too. So wait to get the injury reports. You're going to need it. Concentrate on the playoff viable teams and go from there. Hey, we got two more slates here. Sorry, this one's late, but we got two more, and I will talk to you next.